All right. Good morning, everybody. Well, I have the privilege and the honor of bringing the word to you this morning. Before we get started, one of the things that God's impressed upon me, but even more so now, is not just speaking, but listening. You know, it says, "Be still and know I am God." And a lot of times, everything in this life, everything in this world, is noise in our head. We hear it, but we're not really listening. We're not really hearing it. And one of the things that I heard last week was from a young man. Shared a little bit, and that was Roger.
Young.
Yes. Roger had shared last week that... And what you may remember, those that were here, was it's in God's time. It's all about God's timing. But what he shared was that him and his wife are going through some things. He didn't share what they exactly were, but Roger being as young as he is and me being as young as I am, it may have to do with physical things, your body, you know, just things in life in general. But it impressed upon me because I heard that. I didn't just hear you saying it's in God's timing. I heard that there was a need. There was almost a sense of, hey, this is weighing on us. This is causing us to grow weary. It's causing us to lose the hope that we have set before us. This isn't what we anticipated in our later years of life and having to deal with all these trials and these tribulations. So I want to begin with praying for them. Praying for them. Now, I don't know if God's going to be able to make Roger and Beth young. And I don't know if they want to be young, you know. Like I said, I don't want to be 20 again and have, you know, the mind I have. I just want to have the mind I have at 20. You know, then I can turn around and appreciate it more. But I want to pray for them.
You get at 20, Kenny.
That's right. So he wants me to have the mind I have now at 22. But I want to lift them up to you, if you guys can join with me. And what I want is I want God's Spirit to move upon them. In the midst of what they're going through, that they can fix their eyes upon you, Lord. In the midst of it, Lord God, it, just as Paul with that thorn in his side, if you choose not to remove that thorn, Lord God, but that you would enable them and strengthen them to persevere, and that you would restore unto them the joy of their salvation, Lord God. That they not be robbed, Father God. They not be stolen from, Lord God. That they look to you for that love. Heal them, Lord God. Physically, spiritually, and emotionally, Lord God. Put a hedge of protection around them, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you.
You guys are more than welcome. No, but it's interesting because, like I said, it's about listening. You know, we need to take the time to listen to what people are saying. Because in listening to somebody, that's how you're going to get to know them. Now, as I said, Roger and Beth weren't intimate as far as what they're going through. But you caught that they were going through something. You just caught that Naisa said, "I'll take that prayer too." So if you're listening, you're like, okay, now obviously that means that she's going through things. Now, she might not have shared what she's going through at this point, but you know that that's that automatic, hey, I'll take that prayer too. Amen. And like I said, if we can't be still to hear the voice of God, to know that we need to lift her up in prayer. Now, I'm sure that every one of us now would say, well, yeah, I need that too. I need prayer. I need that too. Right? And that's one of the things that we're going to talk about today is prayer. It's so important. But prayer is something more than just being important. It's about having the ear of God. Putting yourself in a path to have the ear of God. We have prayer in the morning. Pastor Don, John. John has prayer up there, intercessory prayer, before service. And thankfully, you didn't teach on prayer last week because I'm doing it, at least touching on it. And the thing is it something that we do out of obligation, sometimes we think it is out of obligation. It's out of duty that we come up before church and we pray. But as I was studying and as I've been reading and just what God's been impressing upon me, it's about me putting myself in the path of where God moves. If I want to see God move, if I want to grow in Christ, and growth is good, but growth comes from knowing God. How many here can tell us what the corporate prayer was for this morning? Because the corporate prayer is the vision of God. It's the building of His kingdom. If we didn't put ourselves in the path to know that, how are you going to find out? What was it that was prayed for this morning? There was a prayer that went up to the ear of God. And we come in and we go out and we almost get caught up and deceive ourselves. Well, I did my duty. It's not about duty. It's about knowing God. And knowing God comes with putting yourself in the path of where He moves. My life is a testimony, as I had talked about, a living testimony, of me putting myself in the path of where God is. God is here. He's here in these Sunday morning Bible studies. He's here in the worship. He's here in the prayer upstairs. He's here in His Word. But are we putting ourselves in that path to be where He is? Sometimes we find ourselves putting ourselves everywhere else. We put ourselves doing every other task but the one that was needed. He even said that with Martha and Mary. One's doing every task that was needed, and it was needed. But the other put herself in the path to hear Christ, to hear His Word, to hear Him share what it is that God was wanting to do through and in us. Amen. Let's turn to Matthew, chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Don't answer, Shane. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, though are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? And everything you do to others, what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Okay, that's His Word. If you put yourself in the path of reading His Word, not just studying His Word, but just reading His Word, chances are that He's going to reveal Himself to you. Now, that wasn't just the Word, right? Because in turning to the paperback Bible, those letters, those words were in red. We just read the words of Jesus Christ. And somehow, I think in the church, we lose that. They were just words. Yeah, we heard them. They were just words. But they were words that Christ Himself spoke. Spoke to a crowd just like this. And you know, in that crowd, there were some that heard it, some that acted upon it, and others that were just busy with all the thoughts in their head. They didn't know how to still themselves and know that He's God. To know what it is that's happening, what it is that's happening in your midst. We come into these services, we come into this function, and it's hard sometimes to still our minds, to focus them, to fix them on Jesus Christ. It's usually not as hard when you're in the midst of a trial. But when you're not in the midst of a trial, it's like, okay. But it's about fixing our thoughts and our mind on Christ. What is it that we're doing here? What is it that He's wanting to do here? He's wanting us to know him. And we're wanting to say, yeah, I'd like to know you. I'd like to know all about you. But right now, I got to do this. Right now, I got this to do. And after church, I got this to do. And I'd love to know more of you. I'd love to go deeper than you have brought me so far. But you don't understand my life. You don't understand the responsibilities that I have. The vision for this year was to seek his kingdom first. First. Now, why is that? Why is that God's vision? It's not the pastor's vision that they just, yeah, you know what? I think this topic might draw some more people in. It might send some people out, but we might have more coming in than we have going out. It's God's vision for us, for his children. Are we and can we truly examine ourselves and truly say that we want to know him more? And if we say that, are our actions able to turn around and testify to that? If we were to say, yes, I want to go deeper, Lord. I want to know you more. Are we placing ourselves in that path that he frequents? Do we place ourselves in the path of prayer upstairs? You know, I was taken back because there wasn't a lot of people there, which is not unusual sometimes. But I was also taken back when Pastor Don says, I'd like to see 20 people at least, Lord. I'm like, really? 20? I'd like to see every one of us up there. But if you're going to do it out of obligation or out of a sense of duty, and you have no expectation that you're going to come and you're actually going to get to know God in a deeper way, then by all means, if that's your belief, let's pray that God changes that, because it's not at all true. That's a lie. I know that when I go, God is present. That you get a sense of what it is he's wanting to do in this particular body, in the lives of this particular group of people. If you're listening, if you're preparing yourself for that, and when I say this particular group of people, that's another aspect of putting ourselves in the path of God. It's what you guys are doing right now, but you might not even understand what you're doing. You put yourself in the path of God because you put yourself in the path of fellowship, one with another. If we were to turn around and look over this room, scan this room and see who's here. If we, in our own design, said, well, this is the group of people that I want to turn around and share my life with, we probably would have never picked any of us. We would have like, really? What do I have in common with them? When Ed talks to me, it's like Greek because he's talking computer stuff. I'm like, Ed, is it plugged in? Is it on? You know, he's, well, you got these codes, you got this and that. I'm just like, okay. But somehow we need Ed on our team. We need him in this family. He's a gift to this family. Each and every one of you are a gift to this family. Not because of what we see or do, it's because of what God has instilled in you. And it's that fellowship, one with another. It's that iron sharpening iron. And we know that to be true, right? Because God knows I'm the only one that hasn't offended any of you. My wife, on the other hand, I think she's offended many of you many times. There's one of them. But it's an iron sharpening iron, because where are you going to go? You're going to go somewhere where you're not going to be offended? Well, that's a hole. That's a hole in the ground 6 feet down. Because in this life, because of us, not because of other people only, we can be easily offended. Yet, we don't easily forgive somebody for offending us. Well, as the body, you don't have a choice. If you're going to go by the word of God. You don't have a choice. If you read the word, right, you don't have a choice. Let's read a psalm. All right. Psalm 63. This is for you, Roger. You'll figure it out in a minute. Oh God, and think about these words, Roger. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life. Your love is better than life. I don't know that God's going to heal Roger and Beth. But what I want them to know is that his love is better than life. His love will overcome what they're going through. His love will carry them into his very presence. His love. His love for them is deeper than they even know now. Goes way beyond. I will praise you as long as I live. And that's what Roger said last week. It's in God's timing. But right now, we will praise you. In your name, I will lift up my hands. You will see Roger and Beth down there worshiping. They're not going to be deterred. They're going to be, God, fill me up so that I can praise your name. Fill me up with your love so I can tell the world about what you've done and what you're doing. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night because you are my help. Because you are my help. This is the word. This is where you find God. This is, if you're going to put yourself in this path, and that's all we're doing this morning. It's not rocket science. We're taking some time out to put ourselves in the path of God and allow Jesus to move, to be who he is. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I stay close to you. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. Those that seek to harm us will be destroyed. Anybody here feel like they have enemies at times? Like all hell is coming against them? They will be destroyed. Remember, he's saying this. He's saying this. And he started out that he's in a barren land. His situation at this particular time has not changed. But his thoughts are fixed on God, his deliverer. They who seek me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for the jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of the liars will be silenced. See, the lie comes that this is it. This is all you get, Beth. This is all you get, Roger. There's no more joy in this life. Your body's failing you. You know, this is it. That's a lie.
Yeah, it is.
The Spirit of God is living.
Yes,
he is able to do immeasurably more than we ask. And Roger, this is for you, I said, right? Because this is a psalm. Well, here's your double-edged sword. This is a psalm of David.
Amen.
That's David crying out. That's David in the midst of being hunted by Saul. This is David knowing that he could have taken Saul's life and ended that. But he did not do that. He said, it wasn't for me to turn around and take Saul's life. He was going to trust God to carry out the plan because it was going to be in God's time.
Yeah.
That's what he was saying. This will be in God's time. He'll remove Saul as king, even though I've been anointed king. He will remove him, and then. So it was a timing thing. But in the midst of that, David felt like he was in this desert. No, he was in a desert. He was hiding in the midst of the desert. There was desert all around him. He's hiding in a cave with his men. But in the midst of that desert, the reason why he was hiding in that cave, there was this oasis where there was water. There was trees and plants, and he was able to be sustained in the midst of that desert. My hope is that God sustains us in the midst of the desert, because who else can? Who else can but him? He sets a table in the midst of the desert. And we survive and live and thrive off of that table that he sets before us. Amen? Prayer. The word. If you put yourself in the path. Now, we put ourselves in the path. That's why we come to church. Well, I put myself on a path. I put it in a path. I came early, and then I heard the word this morning, and I'll hear the word down there. But do we put ourselves in a path on a continuous basis? During the week? Do we stand watch at night? Do we go over the day? Do we get up early, as the word says often, and put ourselves in a path? Not out of obligation. You know how many people, you know, anybody ever try to do it out of obligation?
Yeah.
Out of a desire to know this God, that somehow we think that, well, I'm not where I'm at, and I love where I'm at now because I'm not where I'm at, but is this really all he has for me? No. He has so much more. So much more. But am I putting myself in the path to receive that? In a place to receive that? We need to be able to put ourselves in that path and trust him. Now, you put yourself in the path tomorrow morning or tomorrow during the day or in the evening, and you read and you're like, I got nothing. So you're going to stop putting yourself in the path? Or are you going to be like, no. I know he shows up. I know he's faithful to finish what he starts. I'm sorry, honey. I don't finish everything I start. My excuse is I don't live to be 600, otherwise I believe I could. Meaning I started a lot of things that I haven't finished yet.
There's a lot of things you haven't started.
Well, you learn to quit starting stuff. Because you know you're not going to finish it. So by prayer, you get the ear of God. His word, you get God. Fellowship, you get God. What are the things that we usually end up forsaking? Putting by the wayside. Prayer. His word. And fellowship. How many wake up on a Sunday morning, or it might even start Saturday, I don't feel like going to church. And I wake up, I say, honey, I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like putting myself in the path of God. Well, you got to go. I said, no, I don't have to go. Well, you teaching this morning. You got to go. There's people counting on you. And that's another thing. Sometimes we do things because of the love that we have for others. We won't do it for ourselves sometimes. But by golly, we'll make some sacrifices for others because we love them. But we'll neglect ourselves. We won't do it for ourselves. We won't do it so that we know Christ more. But one would say, well, I got to go. You know, there's people that they come to me. They want to know Jesus. They want to know the Jesus that I know. They want to be reassured of the Jesus that I know. And they keep coming, and they come, and they come in the multitudes, because it's the multitudes that was prophetically spoken over you. And you get weary, you get tired of people coming because they want that Jesus that you know. They want that Jesus that you know. Well, I'm here to tell you that you need to turn around and find the Jesus that he wants you to know. Yes, by all means, we make ourselves available. There is only one Pastor Don. He is only going to be so available when you have so many sheep. So on the second hand, what happens is we say, well, I don't want to bother him. He's got a lot of people on his plate. He's got a lot of sheep. I don't want to be the one to be bothering him. Okay, who doesn't need have a lot of people? Who is able to handle all of us at once? There you go, Naisa. God is. He's able to turn around and do it. We can sit here and take every issue we have and have his ear, and he's going to hear every one of them. He's not going to be like, well, John, you know what? You didn't stay after up there for prayer, so I was going to get to you. I really meant to get to you and listen to you, but we had too many people in front of you. You can't have my ear today. That's not the God we serve. We've been given such an opportunity, such a privilege, yet our nature and this world can blind us to that. As a family of believers that God gathered, that united together in one accord, we are about to turn around and go down here and worship this living God. And for us, some may know him more or just differently because of the seasons we find ourselves in, because of the experiences that we've had. We drive here to church. We stop at the gas station to get me some energy, only because I had my wife hold my energy can. Unfortunately, I opened it, so it was gone when she gave it back. She goes, well, here's your can. What? But she says, you know, we drive by the old house. And she says, I think about that. I said, well, what is it you thought about? It's all the memories that you had. All the experiences that you had. I said, but you have them still. What it is that was a path that was created that God could dwell, like Esther and Fred, that God could dwell in, and people would come and be refreshed. It was just a path. It was an avenue. It was a tool to be used by God for his presence to dwell there. Because where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. It isn't a duty to go down there and worship God. It's a privilege. It's an honor. And we're able to do it whether we're at our best or our worst. Sometimes when you're at your worst, it becomes more of an honor, more of a sacrifice. Because if I'm feeling good, if I got to bed early and I was able to turn around and be refreshed and energized, and I come in, I got this. Yeah, it's me getting this. Instead of, Lord, you know what? You called me to this place today. It's by your grace that I'm even here. By his grace that you're here. It was by his invitation. Yes, we acted on his invitation this morning to be here. But make no mistake, it was a personal invitation from him for you to be here this day. And it's a personal invitation to honor him with our singing, our hymns, our songs. Even if the words are not correct. My son, right? And I told my wife, I'll tell him in due time that his rebuke came across and it hasn't stopped yet. As you notice, I have not played no song this morning. Because now every time I turn to study or listen, it's like, well, the song's good for a song, but it's not a praise song. And it's good for a praise song, but it's not truly a worship song. You start breaking down the words and the lyrics, I'm like, I told my wife, I said, I ain't playing nothing no more. I says, but if I tell him, as you see, he gleams from ear to ear. Now, is that because he knows God or because he got to rebuke his dad and know God? A little of both, I think. A little of both, because that humility is an attribute of Christ. Who cares if it was your son that turned around and points that out? Great that he surpasses me. I said, I am so happy that they would surpass me. So happy. That this morning, I was telling my wife, I'm praying that they have multiple kids. Multiple kids. That they too can experience what I have. I says, and when my wife would tell him, honey, his daughter, she's just a baby. I says, and he's like, yeah, man. I says, all you have to say to him is, maybe what she needs is some grace and mercy. And that'll ring in his ear because that's what he received, was grace and mercy. Amen? Amen. We're in a holy place right now. This isn't just a building. It is, but it's not just a building. This is not the outer court. You need to go with some trembling and some fear. We're about to go down there and give an offering. So if there's something between you and God, make it right. Don't come in here so familiar that you think that you can just walk right in and walk right out. This is a reverential thing that we do. The body of Christ, Him uniting us, is a God thing. This is a God thing. This ain't a man thing. This ain't something man tries to think up, tries to counterfeit it, but it's dead. There's no life in it. Don't bring the dead things into the sanctuary. Those dead things, when they go in, they need to go up as an offering, a burnt offering. Lord, if there be any dead thing in my life holding me back, take it, burn it. There is a song that I did not play, but I listened to. It's talked about being wrecked. Wrecked for God. This is an awesome thing, because I know that there's going to be more than just one of us wanting to do this. It's going to be an awesome thing, because God's going to show up, and He's going to speak to you. And He's going to speak something different to each and every one of us, because we're in a different season of our life. But He is faithful. Faithful. He is faithful. He is so faithful, so loving, so kind. It just blows my mind that we have this opportunity. That we're going to be able to walk out of here different, changed. That there's going to be just something different. Something fresh, a fresh wind, prayer with the disciples up in the upper room. There's a wind blowing, a change. God pouring out His Spirit upon His children. We want this. We need this. Why? So that we can do more works, do more service? That's a byproduct. But it's really our heart's desire to know God. Do we really want to know Him? Are we going to listen? We're going to get His ear in a minute to be able to sing to Him. He's going to be listening. He's going to be listening to our hearts. And if our heart's in a place where, Lord, I don't have a desire today, give me a desire to lift my voice to you. Take that spirit that lives and dwells within you and say, Lord, lift my voice to you. Search me and know me. I want to know you in a deeper way. I want to go deeper today. I don't want to be the same. I'm thankful for where you brought me, but I don't want to be the same. Show me what it takes. I want to be put in the path. Put in the path to be set free again from those things that would so easily entangle me. From knowing you. Knowing the true you. Knowing you in a fullness. We haven't scratched the surface yet. And some of us, like Bob, have been here a long time. But I can tell you that Bob hasn't scratched the surface yet. There is so much more. So much more. We need a hunger, a thirst, as it spoke about. This thirst here. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land. Are we as the church the oasis for this dry and weary land that we're in? There is nothing but a report coming back that this is a dry and weary land. And somehow that dry and weariness crept into the church and is wanting to rob us of the very life of Christ. Are we that oasis? We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit of God to pour upon us afresh, to shake this world off and continue to shake it off and keep our eyes fixed in the midst of this storm. Because from one account, it looks like there's nothing but a storm happening out there. From one account. But from another account, when you fixed your eyes on Christ, you didn't see no storm. You seen the fullness there of Christ that allowed you to walk on water, to rise above it, and then to, as Christ did for Peter, to pull others up. So that they too can rise above it. You got something to say, honey? Yeah, Bob's got the microphone.
While he was sitting at the table listening to his music last night, I went in the other room and sat in the recliner, my favorite spot. And so I was just sitting there and I had my little notebook, but this was on my heart. And I thought, you know, because there have been many times that I don't share too much, like up front when I'm on the worship team and stuff. I don't talk too much, but I always feel like the Lord is like prodding me to be prepared the night before, because I'm not good with, here, why don't you share something? You know, and I'm terrible on the spot. I get all like shook up. I'm like, I don't know what to say. I have no idea. So lately, every time I sit down at night, there's something on my heart that I want to share the next day. So last night, I thought it was to share on the worship team while I was up there, but I'm going to share it now because you keep talking about being weary and tired, and this is not unfamiliar to those in here, but Isaiah 40, it says, "Do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding, no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary," which I've said so many times, you know. "Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint." And so I start looking up eagles, which is, again, nothing like phenomenal. But the one thing about that that I read was that in the winter, eagles rest 90% of the time in order to gain strength. In the winter, in the season where it feels cold and dark and dreary and you don't see new life forming, in the winter, they rest 90% of the time in order for their strength to be renewed. They can fly 10,000 feet at times so that they can look down on the situation to see where their enemies lie. He used the eagle as a representation for a reason, that we need to take that as an example, that we can rest. It's okay to rest when we're weary. It's okay when it seems dark and it seems dreary and it seems hard. It's okay to rest because our strength will be renewed.
Amen.
I wanted to piggyback on what Debbie said about the wings and how God shows us a picture of that, of us, like, staring down and giving us strength to be under those wings or riding on top of those wings. That very same scripture, someone bought me a picture 3 years ago about a house I was going to have. But the picture was huge. It's, like, as big as me. It's a life-size picture. And my house that I moved from was very, very small. There was no way I could have hung that picture there. But now I have that house. And Pastor Don and a lot of elders and, you know, the women have been encouraging me and saying, don't grow weary, Esther. It's coming. But I thank God that he is allowing us rest, although we're extremely tired from this week of moving and weddings. But God is good, and he is here to encourage us. And if we don't put our face in that book, then we are going to go dry, and we are going to... And we're all going to fall into the negativity of the world where the enemy wants us to be real. He doesn't want us to say, hey, I'm crowned, I'm royalty, I'm precious, I'm forgiven, you know. So praise God.
Amen. All right. We are done. We have an opportunity to put ourselves in a path. There's prayer up front. I can assure you that if somebody takes your seat because you went up front, that there'd be another one to sit in. So don't think I can't go up front and pray because somebody may take my seat. It's an opportunity to test and see that God is good. Roger, can you close us in prayer? Bob's bringing you the mic.
Lord, thank you once again for another day. See your glory. Thank you for today's class. You know, our brother, he's so moving. It just he hits the right spot in the right corner. And I, trust me, I don't know about yourself. I needed him this morning. Once again, Lord, thanks for the food. Keep our hearts and minds open today. And once again, Lord, thank you for all our blessings. God bless. Amen.